Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I reckon part of the problem, and I just want to speak really simply on this today, is part of the problem of us being able to fully encounter all that God has for us is us having enough trust to rest. I'm going to talk on this today. That I actually think it's not just the fasting. And it's not just the hunger. It's not just the, God, I want you. One of the biggest things that stops us continually living in the move of God that He has for our life, in the sense of His presence, is us being able to trust Him enough to rest and understand that God has got it. That God is in control. And regardless of whatever's going on, that God is good. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that," say with me, "that I am God." Problem is most of the time we actually speak out that last sentence like we just did, "I am God." But the reality is that when we are still, we realize that He is God, that He is in control, and that He's got it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just want your presence here today. Jesus, we ask you to come in and encounter us and be with us today, minister to us and speak to us in such a way that we could trust you, lean into you, and rest in you, that we may know all that you have for our life in your name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, as we welcome these boys to the stage, and Pastor Greg coming on up here. Come on. I don't know about you, but it's February. What's the date? Is it the 10th? Yep. Something like that. February 10th. And I'm tired already. Is anyone already tired at the beginning of the year? Come on, let's be honest this morning. Who feels, regardless of holidays, regardless of days off, that you can get exhausted and you can be tired right at the beginning? I don't know. I feel like I'm doing more and I feel like I'm achieving more and I feel like I'm happy with where life is. At the same time, I'm constantly feeling there's this little sense of exhaustion in me, this sense of tiredness in me. Can we be honest? Is there anyone else that knows what I'm talking about? I'm not just even just talking about my physical tiredness. I just feel a little bit like I'm done all the time. And I'm just hoping that there's a breakthrough all the time. And I'm hoping that there's just a catch my breath moment all of the time. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here today? I just want to show what I feel like sometimes in life. Is that I've got all these different aspects to my life. I've got my family and my friends. And I'm going to, there we go, make Gillian my son. He's, you know, because he's short like Jackson. And single ladies, he's single, and what a catch. And over here, we've got maybe my work and I work for Pastor Ashley, so I've got here representing my work and my finances and my future when it comes to that area of my life. I've got my future and my fears and the things that I'm worried about and the things I'm trying to control and the things I'm trying to achieve. And then I've got my time with God, my time with Jesus. So who else that's close to Jesus than Pastor Greg, you know, and I've got my time with God and it doesn't wave like the Queen, and you know, I'll just keep that off. You're more like Jesus enough, and I've got my time with God and my time with church. Never mind, I've got this aspect to my life that's me. I've got my time and the things I want to do and the things I want to achieve. And the truth is that I really want to get this part of my life moving and in rotation and in flow. But the problem is that I'm trying to make every part of my life get going. So you're not going to be able to see it and you're not going to be able to see it. Sorry, Pastor Ashley. I'm trying to keep my family going and I'm trying to keep my family spinning. So I just get that part moving, but then I've got a career and I've got work and I've got finances. So I've got to get this part of my life moving, but I've got to future proof my future. I've got to make sure my house is good and my future's good and my holidays are right. And then I've got my time with God and I try to get my time with God going. But this is the hardest one to really get flowing in my life. And finally, it just starts starts to get moving, and I hand it over and I walk away. But oh no, my walk with God isn't going to plan. But I look back and my family's getting a little bit wobbly, so I take back control. I get that part of my life moving again. Work's okay. Oh, my future. I've got to get back to my future. I can't get to my future. He's dropped the ball, and I've dropped the ball. So I've got to get that part of my life moving again, and it's feeling good. Oh no, family's lost it. Oh, my work's lost it. Get here. Get that moving again. Oh no, family's dropped it again, and I'm trying to go, and I don't even have time. I want to spend some time on me. I want to do the things I want to do. I want to dream and just rest, but who's got time for that? Because I've got to spend time with God, and I've got to look, future's okay, but family's back again. Catch it, just take it, just take it. And I feel like all of these things in my life, I feel like I'm trying to juggle and hold all these balls in my life. And I don't even have room for me. Give it up for these boys, you get the idea. See, it's not that any of them are a problem, and it's not that any of them are a pressure. The problem is I put pressure on me to control them and keep them all spinning. That I think it's my responsibility to keep them all up in the air and to make them all buoyant and to make sure the ball never drops. And I don't know about you, but I'm physically tired, but my soul's more tired and my mind is more tired. And I want to spend more time on this end of my future and my time with God and maybe a little time on me. But I spend so much of my life running after things that my future and my finances and my house and my bills and my work and all the things I've got to do and my family and my friends and all the pressures I have here. I want to get to a place where I can just lean on God and just rest in God, where I can just allow Him to take control. But the truth is, I have control. And I wonder if as we go into a time of prayer and fasting, it's not just about how much time you spend in prayer, although prayer is the answer, and it's not just about how little food you eat, because that makes space for God, and it's not how high you lift your arms in a worship night, although there's a surrender that we do physically that represents what we're doing spiritually, but maybe it's that I've got to stop trying to do everything in my own power so I can have more of the power of God in my life. Maybe it's I've got to let go of control so God can take control. So I can catch my breath like Shan said, and He can lead me in the way to go. Maybe it's what Isaiah tells me in chapter 40, verse 29, where he says, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. But maybe I'm trying to make my weakness power and my powerlessness strength instead of letting God be my power and my strength. Maybe for more of us, it's not a holiday that we need or a day off. Although wisdom says take your day off and have a rest point in every day and make sure you take your holidays. But maybe it's not just my mind, but maybe it's my soul that needs rest. Maybe it's that I need to make room to catch my breath, or more importantly, to catch His breath. See, let me talk to you as a campus for a moment. I'm not going to preach for too long today. As the last 7 years, we're in our seventh year since we became Influencers Church. Six years and change, we set out on a new adventure, and as a campus individually, we have sent out literally into every campus in Australia and over into Atlanta. We've sent not just people that were part of our church, we've sent our best. We've sent finance and resource. We've spent time praying and fasting. We've raised up leaders and sent out. We've gone on a journey of planting and believing. We've done renovating. We've seen other campuses do what they couldn't do on their own as a campus, as a church. Some of you may have noticed, some of you may not have, but we've been in a season of giving out and giving out and giving out. And sometimes we're like, what about us? But like any good mum or dad, we'll make sure the kids' needs are taken care of first. So as the mother house for this church, we've made sure that every campus is okay and well-fed and growing. And because of that, we've seen such supernatural growth across our church and in all of our campuses, and the souls won and the people baptized. If you were here last week, you got a snapshot of what's happened in the last 6 years, and it's phenomenal. But as a campus, I want to say, now we're in our seventh year, we're going to be deliberate this year to stop and catch our breath. That this is definitely right here for you as a church. And if I say it and it doesn't make sense, it's more maybe me speaking prophetically into the atmosphere of this church. There comes a time when you've worked for 6 days that we're willing to do what Jesus, what God did when he created the earth, is he stopped, went, it is good, and he rested and he blessed it. I'm believing that what you're experiencing in worship and the touch of God, I've just heard so many people say, something's happening this year. It's not that something different we're doing, it's that I believe as we go into this year, he's looking at what he's done and what we've done, and he said it's good, and he's blessing it. I'm believing that this is a year, the seventh year, and I have time to go into it. It's a year of jubilee where debts are paid and freedom comes. I believe it's a year where the land gets to settle as God instructed, toil the land, work the land for 6 years, but on the seventh year, let it soil, fix the fences, get things right. This year, we're doing a renovation. By Easter, you'll see in the back of the auditorium, we already started cutting the floor because the renovation has already begun in here. By Easter, this room will look so different to anything you've seen before. A brand new kids wing that's going in. And all of those things are good. But most importantly, for us as a campus in this seventh year, what we are trying to do is get back to our first love. To remind ourselves of what is most important. And that's all you've heard us preach this year. It's how are you going following Jesus? It's making room for the Holy Spirit to breathe. To stop and catch our breath again. To stop and catch his breath again. Because we can be so exhausted spiritually from running and sending and doing and giving that there has to be a point where we stop and allow ourselves to catch our breath. Can I say, for some of us that struggle with rest, he's already given you permission. The problem isn't him giving you permission to rest, it's you giving yourself permission to rest. My problem is that I run a million miles per hour and I try and control everything and I try and master everything. And I'm just like, I give this appearance with the dimples and the jokes that I'm relaxed, but behind the scenes, I'm a control freak and I'm holding things in my hand so tightly and I'm not letting, my precious, you know, I'm not letting go of what I've got because I've got to make sure it's mine. I've got to make sure everything goes to plan. I've got to make sure everything works out perfectly. I've got to make sure that no one's offended and everything's good. And I try to control everything. And at the end of the day, there comes a point where either he is in control or I am in control, and whether he is God or I am God. And when it comes to stopping and resting and letting my spirit and my soul catch its breath, it's not God giving me permission, it's me giving me permission. And when it comes to us as a church, if we were just willing to let ourselves breathe and catch our breath again in your life as a mum or dad, or as someone that's single or married, a business person, someone that's studying, just a follower of Jesus, if you would let yourself catch your breath again, if you would give yourself permission to rest, your permission would come into alignment with his permission, and that is called agreement. And when there is agreement, there is unity, and that's when God brings the blessing. It was there on the first day he blessed, or the second day he blessed, but it was in the seventh day he blessed where all of creation came into alignment with the rest of God. And it was there on the seventh day he blessed. I believe I'm prophesying this year as a Paradise campus. For all the years of sending out, it's a year of coming in. For all the days of giving out, it's a day of increased return. It's a day where we will not just believe and pray for what's out there, but we're going to see a fresh wind of God that moves inside of here, because we're going to come into alignment with what God said and rest and catch our breath. Because Psalm 46 verse 10 that says, be still and know that I am God, is not an issue with God being God. It comes from us getting to a place where saying he can work it out. For those that are exhausted from praying for your family, and it's good that you're praying for your family, but maybe you're thinking your prayers are controlling that miracle, it's time to let it go because God's going to work it out. Don't let them go, but let go of control. For those that are trying to get your house and trying to work it all out, and you're so focused and stressed on those little things, trying to get that ball spinning as fast as you can, to just rest and let God work it out. For those that are so holding on to your kids, and it's good that you pray, you're a praying mum or dad, and maybe you're here and you're doing it as a couple, maybe you're doing it by yourself, but the result is the same. At some point, you have to let go of control and let God be God. When it comes to your future or the direction of the church or where things are going in your business, we're good that we pray and it's good that we're diligent. God, work for those 6 days, and I'll show you there's necessary disciplines that we need to have, but at the end of the day, we sometimes have to let go and be still and know that He is God and He is good. See, for Martha, there was nothing wrong that Martha was working. The problem was that she couldn't stop working and had to control making sure all the preparations. Jesus comes into this house where there's this couple, these two people, Mary and Martha, and one Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet. For those that don't know the story, there's this lady Martha, and she's working and working and working, trying to make sure the meal's ready and the house is tidy and the atmosphere's good. And it wasn't a problem that she wanted a sense of excellence in her house and in her life. It's that when Jesus was there, Jesus wasn't everything. Her control was everything. She actually gets frustrated. Maybe this is what some of us are like. We're looking at other people that seem less stressed than us, less worried than us, and we're frustrated with them because they're not out of control like us. And she says to Jesus, "Tell Mary to come and help me." And Jesus says, "No, what Mary's done is right." Jesus says, "Mary has chosen what is better." Where was Mary? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Was Jesus more concerned about the person sitting at his feet or that everything was perfect in the house? He was more concerned about Jesus, about Mary sitting at his feet. He said, "Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her." At the end of the day, sometimes we're trying to control the affairs of our house and it will go up and down and things will be taken from you. But the one thing that will never be taken from you is a rest of spirit when you can know that Jesus is enough. In Psalm 23, it says that He leads us beside green, takes us to green pastures and leads us beside cool waters. What Sean said for the message tonight, He takes me to green pastures where I catch my breath and shows me where to go. Do you know when we often talk about the scripture and leave it up, we often say, "He takes me through the valley of shadow of death and then there's evil and then He takes me to green pastures." But do you know that's not what it says? It actually starts with, "He lets me rest in green meadows and leads me beside peaceful streams, He renews my strength." And then it goes on as we go to verse 4, and then it says that "even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid." You see, it's not that you need to earn your rest, it's that you need to run from your rest. It's not that you need to go through those dark places and get everything in your house in order so that you can sit at Jesus' feet. It started with us sitting at Jesus' feet. It started with us in green pastures and cool waters, and that gave us the strength we need and made us let go of the control we had. So when we went through the dark valleys, because they will come, and when evil comes our way, because it will come, we're not in control, but He's in control. Rest, some of us think that rest is a reward, but rest was never a reward. Rest was always meant to be the foundation for which we went and went into our life, that it was never meant to be, "I'll control it and then I give control to God when things are perfect." It was, "I give control to God up front, I be still and let Him be God, and then we go through the ups and downs of life with Him leading me, not me asking Him to come with me." The disciples, after 3 years of walking with Jesus, then get the responsibility to birth the church. And where was the church birthed? It was done in a place of rest. It was done in a place of sitting and being still. It wasn't going out and putting ads on Facebook. It wasn't out there and starting a marketing campaign. It wasn't each of them going to 8 towns and tell them all about me. The church was birthed from a place of sitting still and letting the Holy Spirit take control. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor." And I feel like right at the beginning of an encounter week, right at today, where we're going to make room for God to breathe. Right where we're fasting, and maybe it's not just the fasting, maybe it's more that we need to let go of control and learn to rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're feeling tired this morning, we'll continue to read. Just if you're feeling exhausted, if you know what I'm talking about, from running from thing to thing, trying to carry your family and carry your finances and carry your walk with God and carry your future and try and find time for you. Wherever you are, I just want you to shut your eyes right for a moment and listen to these words of Jesus. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly of heart, in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are carrying your family. Come to me, all who are worried about your home. Come to me, all who are trying to hold control. Come to me, everyone that's trying to dictate how your future looks. Come to me, everyone that's trying to keep all the balls in the air and trying to keep everything from falling apart. Come to me that carry the burden of not being good enough. Come to me, those that carry the shame and guilt of your past sin and the things that's gone wrong in your life. Come to me, those that are worried and heavy about for your future. And I'll give you rest. See, it's the exact opposite to what we think he'd say. We think he'd say, come to me and I'll give you rules. We think he'd say, come to me and I'll give you regulations. Come to me and I'll give you restrictions. Come to me and I'll give you religion. Come to me and I'll give you rituals. It's none of those. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And it's here that your faith is going to be tested, but this is why the rest has to come at the beginning of a year. Is because we want to know how it's going to be worked out and when it's going to be worked out. Because that's what we want. We want control. But Jesus never provides us the detail. Jesus just promises us that the problems and the issues and the worries will be addressed. He doesn't tell us when and how. But he wants us to have an assurance and a rest in him that he will do it in the best way at the best time because he's God. This is why God says, trust in me with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is why he says, cast your anxieties or cast your cares on me because I care for you. And it's there that you'll find rest for your soul. Look at me. It's here that this yoke exchange happens, where he says, take my yoke that's easy and light, and he takes your yoke. This is why the cross is enough, that it's there at the cross. It's there with Jesus, that he is enough. And he says, let me take the burden of sin from you, and let me take the weight of your shame from you, and let me take the heaviness of control from you. And it's there at the cross, when the cross is enough and Jesus is enough, that you can rest and give him all of your heaviness, and he can exchange yokes with you, that he can give you a lightness and an ease. He says, leave me to do the work. Let me to carry the weight. Let me dictate how this will work out, and you take on rest in your life. I'm not telling you how this is going to work out except for the fact that God is good. And I'm not telling you when God is going to turn up in your life except for God is good. And I'm not telling you when it's all going to turn around except for the fact that you first need to rest in the fact that God is good. The Israelites, and they were Egypt, and I'll finish with this, they were all slaves, and they were slaves to their masters, and we look at them and we talk about their freedom that God gave to them, but the truth is, we're just as much slaves as they are, and what was happening in the natural is what happens in the spiritual. They're an example of who we are today, and they were in captive to their masters, but so are we. We are captive to the masters of control. We are captive to the masters of our own manipulation. We're captive to the masters of having to know how all things work out and how things are going to turn out. And God comes and he takes them into the desert, a transition season, a fasting season, a season of prayer and encounter to take them into the promised land. The problem is they don't go into the promised land. At least one generation doesn't. Now, when they talk about the promised land at least three times, once in Deuteronomy and twice in Joshua, they refer to the promised land. The scriptures refer to them as a place of rest. You see, the promise of God for the Israelites, which is a picture of the promise for us today, was not just a land, it was a place of rest. This is the promise of God. Not that they get healed, although he's healer. And it's not that he'll give you that house, although he knows your needs and he is your provider. And it's not that he will do it in your timing, although he'll do it in his timing. The promise of God is not that he'll do what you've asked, when you ask, and how you ask. The promise of God is rest. It's that I can go, God, whatever happens, you're in control and you are good. But there was, when they got into the land, there's a fight, there's a battle. There's same here, there's always going to be a fight for your rest, because it's so easy to fight to be in control and fight to be God. But the fight is not that we would fight through our own strength. The picture of Jericho is that when you praise and when you worship in one accord, when you get into a place of rest, God will do what you could never do so that you can enter into the place of rest. You see,
That place of rest is a place of profound peace. That God's plan is that they would defeat their enemies so that he would be God and that they would find peace. And we laugh at that generation that never went into the promised land, but I think we do the exact same thing. We never enter into the promise of rest ourselves, and we are just as much in control of our lives as the Israelites were in control of their life and not entering into the promise of rest that God had for us. And in the old, where Joshua led them into the land of rest, the new Joshua, Jesus, now leads us into a place of rest. But it's not physical rest, it's a rest for your soul. And when they had to walk into their place of rest, Jesus says, come to me. And you still have to walk into rest. You still have to enter into rest. Too many of us are waiting for rest to come or praying for rest to come. But Jesus is specific. You've got to come to rest. You've got to walk into rest. You've got to go to rest, because while there was a promised land, there now is a promised man. And while in the old we would try and control and do what we could do, now we have to give control to him that he will do what he can do. See, the promised land was a land, and the musicians can come, the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. See, when you enter into a place of rest, there's an ease of flow. See, it's here in this time of prayer and fasting. If you could get to a place of resting that God was good and God is enough, there'll be a fresh flow of living water in your life, fresh flow of oil in your life, fresh flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not that there isn't things to do. Mary had things to do, but it had to come from a place of rest. It's not that the journey for the sheep at the green pastures, that was it. They didn't stay there. They go on their journey, but that was the rest that allowed them to go on their journey. It's not that the disciples could just stay in an upper room. Some of us just want to stay in the presence of God, and it should go with us, but there's things to do and a church to build, but it happens from a place of rest. Isaiah 40 says, those who wait will run, will walk, will soar. There's more to be done. I'm not denying that. And there's more things we've got to be a part of. I'm not questioning that. But it has to happen at the beginning of this year, in this seventh season, in this new start, in this preparation for what is to come, from a place of rest. Let me show you how to do it. Are you doing okay today? Isaiah 40 says this. Have you not known and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Starts with reminding us. He created it. He began it. He sustained it. It's him. It's not me. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the foundation. He's all that I need. It's never me in the first place. It was always him. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Means he sees how it will end. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. And even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who, come on, those who rest, those who wait, those who stop, those who get ready, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on, stand to your feet for a moment. That word wait, I've taught you this before, but for those that haven't heard it, is the word quavar. And we feel that waiting and resting is that I run and I run and I run and I run. And when I finally stop, I fall down exhausted and say, okay, God, now it's over to you. And we feel like it's sitting down and taking a break. That's why so many people serve and serve and serve and then stop because of exhaustion. Or they do marriage and they look for a way out because of exhaustion. Or they're doing whatever they're doing, but they're looking for something else to change directions because of exhaustion. But that was never the picture of waiting. It wasn't sitting down and checking out. The word wait is the word quavar, and it doesn't mean to get on the back of your heels. It means to get on the edge of your toes. It's the picture of a waiter. It's the picture of a waiter that stands there in a restaurant, and maybe for a moment they're catching their breath, but they haven't checked out. They haven't left. They know there's further places to go. They know there's more to do. There's more places to run. There's journeys to go on. on. But while they're catching their breath, they're on the edge of their toes. They've got an anticipation. It's not a passive thing. It's an aggressive thing that says, God, I rest in you. Not I've checked out from you or checked out with you, but I've got an expectation in my resting that something supernatural is about to happen in my life. So you get on the edge of your toes. Because it was never what you could do. It was always what He was going to do. It was never about your control. And if you're weary, and if you're tired, and if you're weak, and if you're trying to keep it all going, He says, rest. He says, stop. He says, be still. But the picture is get on the edge of your toes. It says it's time to come to Him. It's not make God come to you. It's you go to Him. It's not the promised land comes and finds you. It's you've got to enter into rest. You've got to walk into rest. You've got to search out rest. And it's there when you can be still. You can stop. You can wait. You can get on the edge of your toes. You can quiver. That hope is about to appear. Lamentation says this, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, quiver, get on the edge of your toes, get ready, get an eager anticipation, because something's about to happen, fresh wind is about to blow, fresh oil is about to fall, living water is about to refresh you, get on the edge of your toes and wait. Because hope is about to appear. We're going to encounter God this week, but you can encounter God right now. I'm just going to ask us to do one thing. We're for the next 10 minutes just going to worship God and just make room. And I'm going to ask you, before you go into a busy week, before you try and keep all the balls in the air, before you try and control and manipulate everything in your life like I do, I'm just going to open up the altar. And I don't think some of you think I don't move, but there's something about moving. There's something about coming. There's something about entering into rest. And then what your physical does, it's represented of your spiritual. I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to pray for anyone. I'm not going to lay hands on anyone. We're not going to prophesy over anyone today. If God shows us, we will, but that's this week. We're going to go for it. But I think the first thing is first, that you have to come into rest. You have to come into His presence. You've got to let go of control. So this week, starting right now, I'm going to ask you, more than anything, can you rest in Him? Can you wait on Him? Can you let go and grab a hold of Him? Can you come into His presence? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.